This is the Word in the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
We're back talking about the promises of God. Tom and Tyler and myself are here again today, and we are going to look at one of my favorite, just an incredible, incredible comfort for the believer. One of my favorite verses, Romans 8:28. You're probably familiar with it. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then he goes on in verse 29, which I think is so helpful, in 30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. There are a lot of declarative statements, a lot of realities, a lot of promises of what is true in there. And they flow from that initial one in verse 28, that we know that God causes all things to work together for good who love God. Would love to hear how the Lord has used that promise in your life, Tom.
Kind of interesting. When I first became a believer, I could truly grasp that God is working all things together for good. But being honest, as a believer, I didn't understand what good was. Mm. And that's I'm so glad you read verse 29, because God is the one that gets to define what good is.
Right.
And the good that he is doing in every circumstance, he promises that he is conforming us to be like our Savior.
Yep.
And so for me, in the midst of everything in life, I can just trust even the things that when an expectation isn't met, when I don't even live to the own expectation I've set for myself, I know God is working.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing but comfort upon comfort upon comfort of just knowing how near God is to us in every situation.
Yeah, that reality that God causes all things to work together for good, that is an all-encompassing statement. Yeah. So whatever's going on in your life at any moment in time, if you are a believer, you can know God is causing these things to come to pass for the explicit purpose of what is good for you, which ultimately is becoming more like Christ. And there's certainties for the Christian in what he has done in bringing you into salvation, and what he's doing for you in your salvation, and what he's going to do in the culmination or in the fullness, bringing you to glory eventually. But what a comfort that whatever's going on in my life, God is causing it, God is bringing it to pass, and God will use it to make me more like his Son.
You know, Josh, just the emphasis you put on that brought me to a thought using the word all. There's only one definition for all. It's all. How much better can we put? It's everything. It is all. And I know I stop and ask myself, and do you believe that?
Mm.
And the question I think for all believers, even in the midst when things are going great and you're having a sweet time reading God's word, it's a good time for me to stop and say, okay, what I just read, all things work together for good. Do I believe God? Do I believe his word? Mm-hmm. To prepare me for the moment when things aren't going as I anticipated or wanted, or that I could say, yeah, but I know what I know.
Mm-hmm.
All things are working together for good.
Yeah. I think that's a helpful perspective when you truly embrace the reality of what God is communicating here, and you know whatever's going on in my life, God's intimately involved and has my ultimate best interest in mind, and is committed to producing that in me as his child, just brings, it brings help, it brings perspective, because so often when we have expectations of how life should go and it's interrupted, we feel like, or I have found myself feeling like, whatever that unexpected hardship or trial is an obstacle to what is good in my life.
Right.
And so, you know, maybe you're getting ready to go to church and you have a disobedient child who needs attention. And in that moment, you feel like that child is an obstacle to what you should be doing for the Lord. Yeah. And the reality is that child is your opportunity to please the Lord. It's an opportunity to shepherd. And the Lord is using that child as an obstacle to what the Lord's wanting to do in you. That child in that moment is the means.
Yeah.
Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you're sick. Maybe there's chronic health issues. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Whatever the hardship, from the most intense, however we'd want to categorize things, the most intense trial and hardship to the most petty inconvenience,
yep.
What we know is true is that God is causing all of these things to work to make you more like Jesus. What a comfort.
Absolute comfort. You know, we know from Genesis 3 to the end of Revelation, we are in a broken world. There are going to be disappointments. There is going to be suffering. And for those that think, oh, I really don't think God intends us to suffer, that wasn't what happened in a perfect garden, but that is what the reality is when sin entered the world. And here we have a good God making promises that even in suffering, even the things that we don't like, he is working it for good,
yeah,
to make us look more like his son. And that's it's just comfort.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up not like eating spinach, you know, and it just, hey, there's things in life we don't like.
Yeah.
But no, God, I know you're using this. I know I needed this.
Hmm. I'm curious because I've heard a response to this passage on numerous occasions where somebody was struggling in the throes of trial, and the objection was, this is so hard, this is so painful, could I just be a little less godly? I'd rather not go through the agonizing heartache and be less godly. How would you help somebody who's maybe struggling with the hardships of life? They come to this promise and they go, well, God, that's great for you that I'd be more like Jesus. But they're struggling in their heart to reconcile why it's worth it to become more like Jesus, even at the cost of the hardship they're going through. How do you help somebody work through those thoughts?
As Tyler and I look at each other, thanks for the question, Josh.
That's why I like being the question.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to answer your question, but when I think of James chapter 1, verse 2, the imperative, consider it joy. Joy is the term for the vertical relationship that we have with God. In other words, consider eternity when you face trials of many kinds. You even think of David in the midst of hardship, and as he says, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. So in the midst of suffering, to pray to the Lord, Lord, restore my joy, is very appropriate. Because the only way I can look at the hardships in life is to be thinking about eternity. This is just a momentary light affliction.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of, you know, 2 Corinthians 1:3, you know, that the God of all comforts has cared for me so well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I answered your question, but I know that's how I prepare my mind to think about things.
Yep.
That, Lord, I know you have good for me.
Yeah.
Could I maybe go down a rabbit trail and circle back to that
sure.
question?
Yeah.
It is really helpful for me to think through the verb tenses through this passage, because they're shocking. The first one is we know. That's actually a perfect tense. We have come to know.
Yep.
Like, God has revealed this to us, and it is already in your hands. You know this.
You and will continue to know this.
Yep. We know that those who love God, for them, all things work together for good. That's a present tense there, the working together for good. Things currently are working together for the good of the believer. And that is what you have come to know and will continue to know. And then as you jump into verses 29 and 30, there's all of these aorist tense, simple past actions that have been done, which are shocking when you get to the future things that we haven't actually seen happen, but are in this unbreakable chain of salvation. God, in his sovereignty, has accomplished these things, and even the he also glorified at the end is as good as done.
Absolutely.
It is set in stone because of God's good care for his people.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we know? We know that presently all things are working together for good, and we have this demonstration of God's sovereignty over salvation. We need to think of our present circumstances in light of eternity, in light of what God has done. We need to think in the right perspective.
Mm-hmm.
God is good, and he has saved, and he will deliver all the way to glory.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I to question what he is doing in this moment right now?
Yeah,
I need to humble myself and trust him. He is such a good God. Yeah. He has not withheld his own son. Is he going to withhold any good thing?
Mm-hmm.
No, he isn't. And so while this verse is not a command, like James is, consider
right.
it joy.
Yeah.
I think we actually need to come back to it, circle back and remind ourselves, okay, we know this. What do I know? All things are working together for good.
Yeah.
Now I actually need to apply that to my life and continue to remind myself, all things are working together for good because God is good.
Yep.
You know, Tyler, just hearing, you know, what you just said is just a reminder. We don't wait till the hardship comes and then, oh, I'll go read Romans 8:28 and 29 and 30. I don't have a clue who's listening to this podcast, but my encouragement is fortify your thinking today and continue to fortify your thinking with these truths and these promises that you are equipped when this time comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just I can't even think of the word I want to say, but it's a pre to put on right thinking that you can just lean on God's word when hardship comes, when trial comes,
yeah.
when the unexpected comes.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not prepared, if you haven't shepherded your heart to these truths, the grace of God is sufficient, but you will be better prepared.
Absolutely.
If you're not trying to persuade yourself of this in the moment of hardship, if you've set your heart on truth before, mm-hmm. you'll be much better prepared to believe these things. I think when talking about the reality that God is causing all things to work together for good and maybe some of the objections that come, I think a couple things. There can be a tendency to want to just, oh, you're struggling. All things work together for good.
Yeah.
And to miss out on weeping with those who are weeping,
mm-hmm.
to enter into others' lives with compassion, with patience. Typically, what I've found is that when someone's struggling with the moment, they're not thinking rightly about eternity.
Right.
And God's purposes in eternity. And what you referenced it just a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 4, that this momentary, verse 17, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. I love that because Paul is not minimizing the hardship of affliction. But in comparison, what awaits us is so much infinitely greater than the hardness we are experiencing now. And when you're tempted to say, could I just have a little bit less hard because I'm still saved, you're actually not prizing eternity as you ought. You're not prizing God's eternal glory and what awaits those who persevere, those who glorify him in this life. You will never regret one moment of suffering as a believer
right. In
all of eternity. You will only be grateful in all of eternity. And whatever you suffer in this life is nothing compared to what Christ has already suffered on your behalf at the cross. And so in thinking through some of those objections, I think it's helpful for the counselor to realize life is hard.
It's hard.
And pain is real, agony, discouragement, despair. We don't want to run over somebody with truth, but we also don't want to distort or change or back away from such a promise because somebody's having a hard time
right. Getting
there. We need to just be patient and help them think yeah. Rightly in the midst of their trial.
It's interesting just going to 2 Corinthians 4 and just recognizing it is another promise of God. In that verse, for our light and momentary troubles, the promises are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So even in the midst of looking at Romans 8:28, as we talk about this, is we're looking at another promise of God of just how he cares for us.
Yep.
And you know, I was thinking of something that you had said, Josh, and just what a kindness of God that he would write to us in such a manner. Mm-hmm. And then when you think of what is the kindness of God, that's what leads us to repentance. We need to love God more because of who he is and what he's done and what he continues to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Tyler, thank you for taking us back to Romans 8 and pointing out those verb tenses, those certainties. So helpful to see the progression and the flow of Paul's thought in that and the truth that's revealed from it. As Tom said, we don't know who's listening to this podcast. We know that ever since Genesis 3, sin entered the world. There is pain. There is hardship. I'm certain that someone who listens to this podcast is going through something that is incredibly hard. Here is a promise. If you are in Christ, if you are a believer, you can know that God is not picking up the pieces behind something that's unraveling out of control. He is causing your specific circumstances to work together for your good, ultimately being conformed into the image of Christ. And that is a wonderful reality. And whatever you're seeking to endure, your call is not to control those circumstances, but simply to yield, to submit to the Lord in them, in those circumstances, to honor him, to continue to press forward in trusting yourself to God, knowing that he knows all, sees all, judges righteously, and cares for you. Praise God for that.
Praise God for that.
Yep. Thank you, man.
Great being with you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.